The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
We start hour two of the Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday. Do it right now. It's going to be a whole lot like hour one in that there will be college football discussion. It'll be different because we're going to be doing different people. Dave Bartu from College Football Matrix. He was hour one, and it's just awesome. So many different directions we can go with Dave Bartu, and I'm really going to get intrigued when he starts the more formal, regular part of his expertise involving players. Like when it's not just coaches or administrators, it's not boosters, it's not anything to do on like the adult side of it. Agents who have coaches under contract. Hi, I have a great special teams coach. Who's looking for where can we trade him up? Who needs a special teams coach? So Dave has a lot of different avenues he can go down and expanding matching players who are saying, hey, I'm a punt returner or a safety or a tight end and I do X, Y, Z. Dave is exploring how to get that in a more formal way so we can also assist players. And so that's what he does at College Football Matrix. If you didn't hear it, it's always interesting stuff. And there's just 50 different directions that we take the conversation each week as well. Get it on the podcast. Go to thepodcastpark.com. You subscribe, you get it every day, and you get not only do you get Dave Bartu, but also coming up in about 10 minutes, when we talk to Heath Klein from 107.5 The Game in Columbia, you'll get that as well. And then also bottom of the hour, Mike Scarborough coming on from TigerBait.com, number one source for LSU sports and recruiting news. We're going to talk LSU football again with Mike Scarborough bottom of the hour. But right now, I'm going to get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football. Every single day, this is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm Pain Relief Cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
Headline, Senator Marco Rubio applies for request waiver. So ex-Navy corner can play in the NFL. That would be Cameron Kinney. He is a former Navy cornerback who would like to attend training camp with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Florida Senator Marco Rubio is requesting President Joe Biden assist him in getting a waiver so that Cameron Kinney can fulfill his duty to the Navy at a later date while he sees if he's good enough to play in the NFL. A lot of language involved there, and there's always the potential for political grandstanding anytime something like this can get you a little pub. This is, to a lot of folks, a complicated issue. I think that there are more important things than somebody playing in the NFL. I think there are more important things than, for instance, Navy having a more competitive football team than possibly they do. And it's a really good program. Well, Chuck, why are you saying all that? Because those are the two reasons that are almost always given for allowing someone who attends a service academy and is good at football a chance to delay his – and again, I don't know this. It's 2 years at least, isn't it? And it can be more than that, that to delay the required military service so that this individual can pursue a career in pro sports. That's the first reason. There are more important things than that. And then secondly – it is, well, how will we attract better players to the Naval Academy? There are more important things at the Naval Academy and the Air Force and at West Point than having a great football team. You want to compete. You want to represent yourself well. But there are more important things in defending the nation's borders. That qualifies. Now, Is there a way to satisfy everybody? I don't know, maybe. I know that David Robinson was in the Navy, and apparently from when he decided he was going to go to the Navy to when he actually showed up, he had grown so much, or maybe by, like, while he was in the Navy, he grew so much that by law, he could not get on a plane, a boat, or a submarine. And he's in the Navy. So they shipped him down to, I think, Kings Bay, Georgia, and he sat at a desk and filled out his requirements. I know we're going back 50 years, but, like, Roger Staubach? I think it was 6 years. And he was in Vietnam. Again, I know that's the late 60s, but still. It's a bigger picture than, and it's a little more complicated to some people. I go the other way. I don't think it's that complicated. If there's a way to satisfy everybody involved, that's tremendous. A lot of times there just isn't. Consider yourself up to date. That's the only real story I'm going to give today. There is one more thing I want to talk about quickly. And this is a story that you can see anywhere. I saw it actually 3 days ago. What is today? Tuesday. No, yesterday, actually. Yeah, I saw it yesterday. There is a group of former Michigan players who over the weekend had penned and released a letter of support for Bo Schembechler with all the claims going on around that are so familiar by this time. Similar to what's going on in Michigan State, similar to Penn State. More than 100 former members of Bo Schembechler's Michigan football teams signed a letter and then released it on Friday to defend the former coach's reputation. Several claims, he ignored allegations that a man who was a team doctor sexually assaulted patients, including football players. Well, there are more than 800 former Michigan athletes who have said, yep, me too. I'm going to give an opinion from the outside. I got 100 Franco Harrises here. Do you remember Franco Harris after the statue was removed and then they put like a tarp over it and then like a chain link fence around it? Well, we don't know what to do yet. And Franco Harris was out there leading the charge. And I think that if Franco Harris were to take the backward look at his life over the last several years, that he would probably, I think he would choose a different path based on what we know now. Jay Paterno, I have no idea. I mean, those who love the coach and want to defend the reputation, that's how they're going to be. But I know that there are a lot of folks who have changed their opinions if you go back to the genesis, like 2011 when it first really hit. That was the beginning of November, that first week of November, when it hit with Joe Paterno. And then the next year when the sanctions came, there are a lot of people, if you go back 9-10 years, they wish they would have probably reacted differently. I think that you got about 100 former players at Michigan who down the road, they're going to look back and wish their name wasn't on that letter. That's my opinion. All right, we're going to take a break, come back with more next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show, and it's strange, some of the either reputations or prevailing opinions, I guess, that have emerged over the past year with the transfer portal, because, for instance, Dan Mullen and Mike Norvell, my gosh, they're stocking their whole team through the transfer portal. You looked at South Carolina? They went shopping. 8 transfers from other NCAA football programs, and I don't know what their numbers are right now. I don't know that they're done shopping. You've got another, 8 days or so? Well, yeah, 8 days to declare by July 1st. You can take advantage of that immediate eligibility. It'll be May 1st going forward. But for this season, it's July 1st. I want to welcome on now a good friend of ours from 107.5 The Game there in Columbia. It is the Gamecocks flagship. He is the afternoon drive host and has been there for, at least a decade. So my good friend Heath Klein. Heath, brother, how are you?
Hey, Chuck. What's happening, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Is Shane Beamer, they done shopping, or are they going back to the portal maybe?
No, they're definitely still looking. In fact, one name that is worth keeping an eye on is Caron Prunty. He's a defensive back that played for Kansas last year, was actually a freshman All-American.
Oh, yeah.
Visited Tennessee, and both schools, I think, now are kind of waiting to see where he's going to go, but it sure sounds like it's going to be one of the two. But if they could add him to the secondary for this year, there's no question they would jump on that immediately. We'll see if there's anybody else. That's the most prominent one in the pipeline, but they definitely are at least open if there was somebody else out there that they thought could help. I mean, they have some areas where they're just so thin that if they could grab somebody, you don't want to do it and give up too many spots in your next class. They've used up all their spots for the last class, so anybody they take counts against the 2022 signing group. So you're not going to do it willy-nilly. You probably wouldn't grab a guy for just 1 year. But if you've got somebody like a Prunty that's got several years of eligibility that you think can help, absolutely they're going to take a guy like that if they can get him.
Well, let's talk about the leadership of the program there, because obviously Shane Beamer, he's got experience. He knows what it looks like when the Gamecocks are winning double digits, and we all know his resume there. But I know that his hire at offensive coordinator, Marcus Satterfield, that was something you and I have talked about, and he got a lot of conversation. Some of it was, who's he? Tell me, though, specifically, Shane Beamer, on game day, when it hits all zeros and everybody's walking off the field, if his DNA is all over the game, what does that look like? Like, what do you expect his involvement? Like, what will we know Shane Beamer? Oh, yeah, that's a Shane Beamer team.
I think it's going to be real interesting to see kind of how he puts his stamp on things. You know, the guy that I think a lot of people think he might be modeled off of a little bit is Dabo. Not that he's going to necessarily say the same kind of things that Dabo says, that kind of stuff, but, you know, Dabo has never been somebody that's heavily involved in the X's and O's as much as he is, you know, the motivator, the pump them up, keep them going, give a kick in the butt where you need to kind of guy. You know, Beamer has not given any indication that on game day he's going to be trying to say, hey, I want a run play here. I want a pass play here. I'm sure he'll be involved on some level, but it sounds like he views it more as being a broad-based overhead of the program rather than necessarily trying to micromanage the coordinators. So I think it's going to be more about how he handles things with the players. And what you do hope, and what we don't know, is whether or not he's going to be able to handle time and score situations well. Because you remember Mark Richt's first year, Chuck. I mean, Richt obviously turned out to be a pretty good head coach. But those first two, that first year, he had two different games where he botched time and score and managing the clock. And
he ran it on a fourth and goal with no timeouts, or a third and goal with no timeouts left.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah. That's the kind of thing that we're going to have to find out with Beamer. I mean, he's gotten as good a training for it with his dad and all the experience he's had been around the sport as anybody could have, but you still have to get out there and do it. I think that's the part we're all curious about, is how he handles that kind of stuff.
Wasn't it Kirby's first year at Georgia that they had the rescheduled Sunday game in Columbia?
Believe that's correct. It was first year.
And it would have been like his maybe second, third, fourth game, whatever it was. Even Kirby Smart, I don't know if you remember this, but I was right before halftime, he either lost track of the clock or he didn't know what the rules were. If you go back and look at that, and Kirby is a really successful head coach, it happens to everybody. You know, I've always said, Heath, there is a huge difference when you walk into your first coach's meeting and you sit at the end of the table instead of the side of the table. You got like 11 people just staring at you, waiting for you to tell them what to do. It is a huge adjustment for him.
It is. And look, there's guys who screw it up all the time. I mean, Andy Reid, as great a coach as he is, has been notorious for having clock issues. And heck, Spurrier, his last full season, they lost the Missouri game at home, and they score a touchdown. They go up 19-7. It's about 7 minutes to go in the game, and they're excited. It was a sudden touchdown, and so they hadn't thought it through, and he just sends out the extra point crew. And then they realize about 30 seconds later, yeah, we should have totally gone for a two there, and your final score is 21-20 Missouri. I mean, you can botch things even if you're a veteran. So how he handles that is going to be a really interesting thing to follow this fall.
All right, flip it around to defense, and don't laugh at me. Let me get through this. I think if you just drop the defensive line into a fishbowl, I think you can win an SEC championship with that defensive line. Now, here's the problem. I got no clue who's going to play behind him, especially a linebacker. But I don't even know who's – like a 4-2-5. I don't know who the fifth guy is. But the defensive line, they're old, experienced, talented, deep. They even got a transfer from Georgia State who had 10 sacks in, and he'll be like the third, fourth, fifth defensive end.
No, they got talent there. There's no question. That's what's so weird about this team is that there are some spots that are as good as anybody would expect. I mean, very strong at tight end, at running back, and certainly a good depth on the offensive line, excellent defensive line, and then other areas are just skin and bones. And so that's the question is, can you solve some of those problems behind them? And, you know, so these kids that they've recruited in the past, a guy like a Rosendo Lewis was former FSU commitment, yeah, fairly high profile when they landed him, but hasn't stayed healthy, hasn't necessarily had the same level of speed they thought he'd have. And you're just hoping that some guys like that emerge and that you find some players where right now it doesn't look like you've got them because, yeah, they got a kid like Damani Staley. Damani Staley's got experience, but Damani Staley is not fast enough to be a SEC starting linebacker on a good defense. That's just the reality of the situation. And so if he's starting for you, you don't have enough. And they've got to find somebody that is closer to that ideal somewhere, whether it's a freshman, whether it's a kid like Lewis. Somebody's got to give them more, or it's their defense is going to be defined by what that defensive line can do, because behind it, they're just incredibly vulnerable.
Yeah, wrapping up with Heath Klein, Afternoon Drive, 107.5 The Game in Columbia, South Carolina. And I want to ask you about Sherrod Green. He's a guy, I like him. I watched him play some football. I know he's coming back from injury. Can he be a real ball player, or is it just kind of he's an experienced guy?
He's an experienced guy. He's another one. He's probably closer to what you would want from an SEC linebacker starter than Staley is. But again, Green is a guy that is going to give you everything he has. It's not a knock on the kid.
Yeah.
The physical tools are just not special. And in this conference with the athletes you see, you know the reality of it. You must have special. Not every single guy has to be special, but somebody has to be special. Ernest Brown last year, there's a reason he was a third-round pick by the Rams. He was special. They've had special a bunch of times through the years. But right now, nobody sees special. And special better show up or they got a problem.
All right, last thing, and we got about a minute and a half, so you can run a little bit with it. When I mentioned I saw that Clayton White's going to run the 4-2-5, and everybody's multiple, I know, and so it's just numbers. But I was like, as I recall, Heath, like literally every player I can think of that made a play last year in that secondary is gone. And you're going to play with more, not fewer. So explain the 4-2-5 to me and who the star is.
Well, that's an open question, certainly, as to whether or not they have a star back there. But they've got some guys that they like, and they got some guys they brought in. Yeah, there's a kid that we haven't even seen yet that is coming from Assumption College. We're talking Division II yeah. here, but is supposedly a really good prospect out of Division II. And so, that's the question. Where will some guys emerge from that can help them? And they got some kids who took the lumps last year. But yeah, when a Jamie Robinson leaves and goes to FSU, yeah, you knew you were losing Horn. You knew you were losing McQuamu. There was never a question those two guys were going to go pro. But then when you have some other guys decide, all right, I'm gonna go ahead and I'm going to move on here, that's where things become an issue. One guy that opted out at the end of last season that is back is R.J. Roderick. Roderick himself acknowledged that maybe last year was not his best. They need him as a guy with experience, a guy with athletic ability. They need him to be a much better football player than he showed last year. If they can get that at the safety spot, that's at least a starting point. And then you've got some young players you're hoping, along with transfers, maybe tape it together and it's better than on paper you would think it is.
Yeah, well, they got some old men running around compared to a lot of programs. So at least that's kind of a corner to fight out of. Heath, I appreciate it, brother. It's always top-notch, man. Thank you.
Anytime, Chuck.
All right, Heath Klein again from 107.5 The Game there. Afternoon Drive for the Gamecocks flagship station. That's one thing I was like, if you're old, means you've been around a program at least. You may be a senior. Like, you're going to be going into your fifth year this year, and I'm a senior. And you played in three games, and you've had one start, and that's it. And you played some special teams maybe. But you're old, and you've been around the program. That's at least its own sort of skill.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
If you've been listening to this program for any amount of time, on the side of your fridge, you have two lists. They're on those yellow legal pads, those little sheets of paper from the legal pad, and they're in black ink, and you keep them under a magnet. We have life rules, and we have sports rules. When it comes to sports rules, it's follow the visits. All right. When it comes to recruiting, follow the visits. That's always been a recruiting rule. And here's another one that I put on that sports rules. After you get past the big four, Texas, California, Florida, Georgia, I've always said the next two states, North Carolina and Louisiana, when it comes to recruiting, and that's a huge advantage. It always should be for LSU. And with the return of in-person, on-campus recruiting, there's a whole lot going on. In fact, there's an in-state four-star running back, Trevante Citizen, who is from Lake Charles, heading over this weekend. The fourth weekend now coming up that they're going to have on-campus recruiting again. And our third straight weekend, and it's just been a tremendous return for so many of these programs. And we saw like Florida started getting commitments last week, and some of these programs hosting on-campus recruits starting to get some of the commitments. LSU is certainly getting into that business as well. Want to welcome on now from TigerBait.com. It is Mike Scarborough. Mike, how are you today, man?
Hey, glad to be with you. Doing well.
Yeah, let's talk recruiting and, again, getting kids on campus from the get-go back on June 4th. LSU's been at it like they always are. Talk about some of the highlights and just some of the feels coming out from these first few weekends of having recruits back.
Well, yeah, look, it's been a whirlwind. LSU's last camp of the month of June ended on Friday, but since the beginning of the month, they've been hosting official visitors. A lot of them, some of them, have been fruitful. I know, like this past weekend, they had a half a dozen official visitors, but I think coming out of the weekend is probably two guys that they felt good about after the weekend was over with. And I think that's kind of been the track record with a lot of these early visitors. Almost like for LSU, a lot of the kids that they're bringing in early, it's almost like trial balloon visits. Maybe it's kids that from out of state that you need to get in now because you're not sure if you're jockeying for position, if you can get them in the fall, or if they're kids that are wanting to make decisions before the start of their senior year. But it's between what LSU's got in state, which this is going to be, I think, when the book is written on the class of 22, it could very well be one of the top three classes this century as far as how deep the state is. And something that that isn't often the state, we've got multiple offensive linemen, which is rare in Louisiana. Louisiana, we've always got loaded. We're loaded with athletes, but offensive linemen is always a problem. You've got three of them this year, maybe more. So, yeah, it's. I think LSU is very excited. I think even though last week's camp was what they call their elite camp, and is usually where they stack up all the who's who in America. Come for one of those 2 days. In reality, the LSU's elite camp was the first camp of the month, and it was a great showing. Last week's camp did, I think, kind of fizzled a bit between the fact they had everybody, the big-timers, show up early in the month, and then also you had, rivals, camps, and everything else going on at the end of last week. So I don't know what's going to go further. I almost think like maybe there's going to be some college coaches out there, they're going to get after the guys that, put on Elite 11s and rivals and Under Armours and so forth, saying, look, guys, if we're going to be locked down in July, that's probably when you guys need to have your events, and so that way you're not conflicting with college camps.
Continue with Mike Scarborough. Get him on Twitter at Scarborough. Mike is the owner, publisher, and recruiting analyst at TigerBait.com. And if we can, let's go down the road just a little bit more. Arch Manning had a conversation with an LSU fan over the weekend, and, you know, because he's setting up the Bama visit and all, and been to LSU, and he's got high school teammates that are going to go to LSU. And I kind of looked at him, and I was like, is that a real thing? And his response was telling. He said, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? I don't think any LSU fan has any other real expectation of, wouldn't it be nice if Arch Manning came? But that's not a real thing, is it?
No, I think LSU's a bit of a long shot. What I do differ with a lot of LSU fans is that the Mannings is a family lock, stock, and barrel hate LSU. I don't believe that for a minute. I think they are absolutely a football family, and they will slice and dice you to death if they think you're an offensive coordinator or a head football coach that doesn't know what they're doing. And I think that they're absolutely want to put Arch in the best position as far as being taught and learning from a great coordinator and quarterbacks coach. And so I think if you're LSU, if it's not going to be LSU, and certainly with Walker Howard committed, a five-star being a midtermer, and Max Johnson only being a sophomore, and Garrett Nussmeier, who's highly thought of, is a true freshman, and Miles Brennan's still there, the quarterback room at LSU is pretty darn good. And then Arch is one of three quarterbacks in Louisiana for 23 that have an offer. You have Eli Holstein. You know, what was wild is the first two quarterbacks to get offers from LSU was Arch Manning and Eli Holstein. I think Eli Holstein from basically what is North Baton Rouge, I think right now Texas A&M is his leader, didn't even come to LSU camp this month, nor for an unofficial visit. So I think Cooper, Arch's dad, likes LSU, even though he's an Ole Miss receiver. I think Arch does like LSU. He's got a bunch of teammates, best friends, his receiver Johnson, Bo Bordelon. Brett Bordelon is going to be a starting right tackle, the youngest Bordelon son. They offered to his class of 23 tight end last week after a strong camp. So there's a lot of Newman kids that are going to end up at LSU. And so there can be an angle there. You know, is there a scenario where he sees what a Jake Pete's LSU offense looks like this season and they absolutely like it and LSU bounces back in a big way with a one-loss record like I think they are going to, and he's thinking different. But right now you'd have to say you're looking at Clemson, Texas, and Alabama. But LSU is not – a school to be 100% dismissed, but I will say they are a long shot.
Continuing, Mike Scarborough again. Follow this man on Twitter, at Scarborough Mike. He is the owner, publisher, and recruiting analyst, TigerBait.com. Well, let's jump onto the field then and talk about quarterbacks who are already in Baton Rouge. And I can't find anybody to get in the corner with me. I'm in the corner with Miles Brennan. It's just us. Everybody else is going, no, Max Johnson, that's easy, Chuck. Tell me if I'm crazy or not.
You're crazy.
God dang it.
No, I'm Max Johnson. You know what to tell for me? Max Johnson was working all the LSU, you know, I'm sure you've seen it, Georgia and everywhere else, that your college players, they get to work their camps and get paid.
Yep.
You know, where they get $15 an hour, I think.
Or more.
Yeah, or more. And Max Johnson's been out there working the camps. We hadn't seen Miles Brennan at all. I'm told he's been fishing.
Yeah. I used to get a lot of those stories that, like, hunting and fishing was about as important as, you know, food and football to his family. But I'd also been told that when Joe Burrow left, that he had kind of started to assume that, well, it's me now and it's my time, that he had started to assume some of that. Dive a little deeper on that if you want to.
Yeah, let's break down the word assume. No, there is a doomsday scenario for LSU where it's like, man, what if Miles Brennan were to depart in August if he's not the guy? and you've got Max and Garrett Nussmeier, a true freshman, as your backup. LSU played three quarterbacks last season. That could absolutely be scary. And I'm not throwing Garrett Nussmeier under the bus, but he did arrive at 175 pounds.
Oh, he's a true freshman in the SEC. That ain't easy.
No. And, of course, Max and TJ Finley were true freshmen last year, and we saw the result of that. Although I do think had Max Johnson played start of the A&M game, all they needed was just a mediocre quarterback play, and I think they could have beat the Aggies over there. So, you don't want that scenario. But I've always thought that if Miles wouldn't be the guy, that could be in danger. But I'm told that's not the case. That he's not going to leave if Max Johnson is the starter. So where his head's at, I mean, I know there's a lot of people getting after him on social media a few months ago when they tweeted out a picture of a bunch of players in a restaurant eating dinner, and he wasn't looking exactly in shape. He looked a little bit overweight, but quickly through the spring, it was easy. You know, when you're that age, you can get 5-10 pounds off in a week. But I think it's Max Johnson. But it also would not surprise me if you see a scenario where they're both playing here and there. So we'll see.
Well, Mike, I'm
Team Max Johnson right now.
Oh, yeah, brother, everybody is. Like I said, it's me and Miles going, no, I swear the kid can play. Mike, I appreciate your time, man, and I look forward to doing it again in person. I appreciate that, brother. Thank you.
Dude, anytime you need me. I love doing the show.
All right, Mike Scarborough again, TigerBait.com. I had a situation like this I can tell you when it was. It was when Malik Willis had a chance to take over the starting quarterback job after Jarrett Stidham left. And I thought that he would be a real good candidate for that because he actually fit what Gus's offense always looked like. We know Malik didn't get the job. I had people look at me and go, are you crazy? And it turns out, like 3 years later, you can look back and go, maybe Malik should have played some. So there are times where you make a prediction. By the way, I don't have any – more information. I don't have any information about Max Johnson, Miles Brennan, Garrett Nussmeier compared to Jake Peets and Coach O and whoever else has input. There are always 8,000 things they know that we don't. I'm giving you an opinion based on one thing, what I have watched on the field and what I know about quarterbacks, and they're just something about being the upperclassman. Now, there is also something. I'm trying to remember. It was a game, maybe his redshirt freshman year, and they got back and instead of being there for the Sunday extra film session, like Joe Burrow is knocking on doors and saying, hey, let's go work some, guys. That the story was Miles Brennan stayed back in Mississippi to go hunting or something. Maybe it was the opening of deer season. I told you, when I was coaching high school football in Notasoga, Alabama, we had a Monday off of school for harvest. So in the South, it happens. But I'd also been told that while that story was true, it's also true that he had, what was it, the Apostle Paul in one of his letters to the Corinthians? When I grew to be a man, I put away childish things. And playing quarterback at LSU, that's grown man work. So that is the Miles Brennan that I'm talking about. The fifth-year senior, who has played a decent amount of football. And people forget, it wasn't just the game he got hurt in. He was the good the week before that. And I even think maybe in the opener, offensively, wasn't really the issue. It was defense. So Max Johnson can be a right answer. My comment is just about Miles Brennan. I literally can't find one person to agree with me, and I'm starting to believe that it's not going to be Jake Peets or Coach O either. It's going to be me and Miles going, no, really, he'd be good. All right, so I appreciate Mike coming on. We break. We wrap up next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to WadeFord.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at WadeFord.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
We think about responsibility. We think about hard work and earning our way in whatever we do. And we're introducing a value system that negates all of those.
Every word of that's true. Former Kansas State head coach Bill, twice he was Kansas State head coach. One of the most short list honors in sports. He actually coached in a building that was already named after him, Bill Snyder Family Stadium. And he is on SiriusXM saying the transfer portal is bad. Hurricanes are bad. But we got them. Now, the difference is we didn't vote on Hurricanes. We did vote on allowing the transfer. Chuck Oliver show, by the way. I talk college football, in case you didn't know who. Yeah, Dan's pointing at me. He's like, reset. Tell people who you are. Whipping a chair back there. Chuck Oliver show, talking college football. There was a vote on the portal or a decision or whatever, but it's done now. We had a guest on about 6 months ago. I don't know that we've had him on yet since, but he was, Dan, you remember this. I think we should go back the way it used to be. If you transfer in the conference, you sit out two seasons. Well, thanks for your time today. And I wish we still wrote on stone tablets. So there are times I say that ideals and what should be, absolutely, when it's big picture, real world stuff, work for change. And absolutely. It's college football. Transfer portal ain't going anywhere. Bill Snyder's summary, it's bad. I would agree with him. It is bad. All right. Dan Matthews is here in just a couple of minutes, but I'm going to wrap this up with a closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
Yeah, I'm going to make this real quick. I had a very good friend of mine pass away, a guy named LSU Ben Holton, and he had worked stats on SEC broadcast for about 15 years, but that's not how I knew him. When I started in the business about 21 years ago, he was the first listener, anybody in the audience, to contact me, and it was about something I'd said on the air, and we became really good friends, but all I would say is that there's somebody in your cell phone, don't text them, don't email them, give them a call. Hear them laugh. Hear a story. That's my closing argument today. Dan, how are you?
Oh, very well, man.
Yeah, pick it up there, Dan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%, man. I mean, you know, it's just as you get...
You know a little bit about Ben, a little bit. Mm-hmm. I know.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Anyway, I wanted to say that because there's so much that goes on and we get so busy. And so we send an email or a text, call somebody.
Oh,
talk to them.
I just thought about it this weekend with my mom. I lost my best friend over 10 years ago and I still text him. I know he's not going to answer, but I still text him.
Absolutely.
Like, it's kind of one of those, you know, it's still, at least in your mind, if you do it, it's kind of like what Wright Thompson said when he remembered Ed Ashoff. He said, it's almost, if I keep talking about him, he's still here.
All right. Now, that was my closing argument, and I wanted to honor Ben a little bit, but I do have something else I wanted to mention. I talked earlier about my rules on the side of the fridge. One of them is I have a list of people who need to stop talking in public, and it's because every time you talk in public, you actually make it worse for yourself. And so every so often you may hear me say, this person needs to stop talking in public. There is one college football official who is going to stop talking next Wednesday. I need him to stop talking early. That would be Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner who is retiring. That's as of June 30th, right? He's out. He released a statement saying that the Pac-12 supports expansion of the college football playoff and believes the Autonomy 5 champion should automatically qualify for the CFP. That's Larry Scott, Pac-12 commissioner. And basically what he just said is, I'm not certain the Pac-12 champ would be one of the 12 best teams in the country. So, you know, break off a little something for USC, Cal, Washington, all of us. When Tessio was asking Tom Hagen for a favor, what did he base it on? Old time's sake.
Right, yeah.
For old time's sake, just include the Pac-12 automatically. We've given you national championships. We've given you Heismans. For old time's sake, include us. The Sun Belt slapped back at him. Said, I think it was the Mike Oresco, AC, everybody clapped back and said, dude, that's actually a step back towards what we're leaving, making sure that these five are protected and the other five have to earn their way in. So Larry Scott, even in the final 8 days of him being in charge of the Pac-12, he needs to stop talking in public.
It's Tom Hagen telling him instead of Sal, can't do it, Larry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's really what it is. And it's also, too, it's so just tone deaf. And I think the other part of it, too, Chuck, is whenever situations like this happen, sometimes my reaction is why? Like, why, man? You're a week away from the beach. You're a week away from not being in charge of this anymore, especially, too, when one of your own head coaches, David Shaw, Stanford, has basically pointed and said, you're the reason why we are who we are in this conference right now. So, yeah, step away. Don't think you're going to be missed. Real quick, I wanted to add something to the Bill Snyder thing that he was just talking about right there. Is it's all about who we're willing to listen to and the perception of the words that are coming from said person. I bet that probably Bill Snyder, if he were still closer to the game, would have the slamming columns coming at him. He's the old guy. He's the crotchety guy. It's everything that is bad about the sport, and we need to get rid of it right now. The person we're willing to listen to on this has the same message, Chuck, but it's a little bit dressed differently, and that is Kirby Smart. Or remember, I believe we played his cut right here on these airwaves of my message to guys whenever they come into my office, Coach, I want to transfer, is – well, if you can't make it here, the hell makes you think that you're going to make it in the NFL going to some other school? You're probably going to be playing at a lower level. You're going to have to fight even that much harder to prove to NFL teams that you belong not only in the first seven rounds of the draft, but that you belong in the 53 men that are going to be on that roster and going onto the field on Sundays and sometimes even Mondays. So that's, again, the same message, but also as well, I think dressed a little bit differently, that it is, ooh, well, you know what? Coach has got a good point there. I think we need to listen to him on that because he's right. How the heck are you going to be able to put yourself in better position going from Georgia to playing at, I don't know, Appalachian State, just to throw it out there. Fine enough program, but still also to a program that the scouts, when they get there, are going to say, hey, good career here. You played against some good competition. You showed up pretty well in some of those games. Why'd you leave Georgia?
I wonder if he says that to a player, if the player says, really? Well, what'd you say to JT Daniels when he left Southern Cal? What'd you say to Mo Smith when he left Alabama? My gosh, you're leaving Alabama to go somewhere else? What are you going to tell those NFL scouts? I remember talking several years ago, Brandon Adams, who covers Georgia now, and a lot of y'all know Brandon, and Kirby had a bunch of recruits up there, and they lost at home to Vanderbilt. And I was like, man, how'd that go over the recruits? And he's like, they always got two speeches ready. Look how good we are. You can join this. Man, look how much we need you. It's like the coach always is going to have an answer. Dan, great job today. David, I appreciate you every single day. Everybody listening, same thing for y'all. 22-hour break. I will be back this time tomorrow talking more college football right here on Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to WadeFord.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at WadeFord.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.